Welcome to part two of our 20 years of S Club 7 special. If you've just tuned in here, go back and listen to part one now.
Unless you've already listened from that.
And welcome to part two.
Yes, you are exactly where you should be right now at this point in your life. So, just to quickly recap, in case, you know, you've had a wee toilet break and you can't remember where you left off. We just finished with the very first S Club 7 tour.
Arena tour.
Young Joel Babington was in the crowd having the time of his life.
Aspiring to be the next Rachel Stevens.
Weren't we all?
David, I've got to tell you, I don't know if I was ready to share voices with Joel with the world, but hey, we've done it anyway.
So immediately after the tour, they flew back to America to film their third TV series,
Hollywood 7.
Now, September 2001, Hollywood 7 and the S Club Search were two parallel TV projects that came out. So they had two TV projects showing simultaneously, pretty much. One was the fictionalized TV show.
Like in LA 7, we had the woman from The Exorcist. In this season, we have Barry Williams from the original Brady Bunch television show playing their manager.
All right, then.
Hey, guys. How's everything with me band? Groovy?
Yeah, it's fine, thanks.
Yeah, except our dressing room is a toilet.
All artists say that. Cheers.
Food!
Ooh!
And in this season, we see S Club having a record deal. And there's this great moment in here that's really quite ahead of its time for a kids' TV show. They're all getting paid different amounts of money, and they come in and say, no, we want to be split evenly. And they, we want, you know, we all want to be paid evenly.
Wow.
And the record label say, you know, we can't get you more money. And they're saying, no, we're not asking for more. We're saying whatever you've got, split that seven ways.
Wow.
Obviously, it's a cheesy fictional kids' TV show, but it's still quite a...
It's, yeah, you know, power to them, equal pay. That's the way forward.
I don't know if that
it really happened in real life.
I feel like S Club never got paid that much. Whereas I feel like the Spice Girls would have, right? But I guess they wrote on the songs.
Yeah.
They came in demanding it, whereas S Club auditioned to be in it is the difference.
I mean, Don't Stop Moving, I believe, is the first single since Bring It All Back where they had songwriting credits on it.
All seven?
Yeah. Thank God they did, because that was the big single. But really, they're not very present as songwriters in their own singles. So where would the money come from? Touring? They only just started touring this year.
I hope the TV shows are at least equity, which means they'll get, like, paychecks from it being paid, shown around the world.
I don't know how that works. Do you think that's likely? I mean, come on now.
Should be.
That's the point. It should be. But, you know, good on them for tackling the issue of equal pay in Hollywood 7. Also, this series, very prominently, it mirrors the real-life relationship of Hannah and Paul.
It does.
Now, I wasn't in the country at the time, and I wasn't aware of this relationship happening. But was this something that was, like, already in the press and they just had to address it in some way?
I feel like, yeah, it was more of a celebrated thing than a scandal ever. Obviously, we don't know how long they were having it off with each other before it was public knowledge. But it was, yeah, a celebrated thing, not a... It was like, yeah, Hannah and Paul were together. That's great.
Aww. Shall we talk about S Club Search? There's a real personal connection to Joel.
If you've listened to our first episode, the S Club Juniors episode, this TV show was them searching for an S Club Juniors act. And yes, I auditioned. Me and my sister Kylie auditioned for this band.
Yep. Joel could have been an S Club Juniors.
In a parallel universe, in an alternate universe.
You wouldn't be sitting in my bedroom floor here. On a flat pillow that barely cushions your bum.
No, you wouldn't be returning my calls. I'd be like, David, I want you to do my PR. And you'd be like, Joel Babington who?
You know, Joel from S Club Juniors. The blonde one.
The gay one. No, not Aaron. Not Jay. No, Joel, you know.
The dancer.
But the...
The dancer with a prominent vocal. I did ask you this at the time. I can't remember if I did, but would you have rather been the dancer of the group or done the vocals?
Vocals?
You would obviously always choose... Really? Okay, because I thought...
You're always going to do the dancing. I want to be the Rachel of the group. What was good about S Club Juniors is that Frankie was the Rachel of the group, but she also was the lead vocalist.
Anyway, Joel auditioned.
I auditioned. Listen to our S Club Juniors episode, and I go into it in detail.
It's a hoot.
As David says, it's the end of Carrie's career for not putting me through.
So I find it a little bit foreshadowing that they're doing an S Club search. I know the intention was to find a miniature younger version of S Club 7 to tour with them in the following year.
Yeah, I think to pop up in Children in Need and maybe tour with them. It was meant to be a very kind of small, sweet thing.
Yeah, that was all happening in September 2001. And then November 2001, we have You Ever? Now, this to me is... prior to doing this episode and all the research, this to me is their signature ballad. Because Have You Ever was very known out in Australia.
Wow.
People, we know this one. Now, this wasn't originally intended to be the next single for S Club 7. They had already lined up You, but in the last minute, Children in Need came through, asked them to do a charity single, and that was how Have You Ever came around.
Wow.
So they already shot the music video for You. That was ready to go.
Really?
Yeah. But once the decision came in that it was going to be Have You Ever... They had one more day of filming left in LA after doing Hollywood 7. Literally the day before they fly out back to the UK, they quickly film the music video in this gorgeous, huge, futuristic, modern-looking mansion.
They had the Children in Need single the year previous in November. They've released only one single in between that.
Mm.
And now they're doing the Children in Need single again.
Yeah. But the thing is, Don't Stop Moving was so big. It was so, so big. You didn't really need to be constantly out there putting out other stuff when the single was still doing so well.
And, you know, and they were touring and they had a new TV show out.
Yeah. You know, I like that there was a little bit of restraint this year because the last 2 years between 99 and 2000, they were on a treadmill like constantly.
Mm.
You know, this kind of felt like, yeah, we're going to give you two singles this year, but they're going to be big hits and you're going to remember them. So,
and that we did.
Now, how gorgeous was this music video?
It's just quite... It's not cinematic. Like, it's quite forced, like, as in, like, the green screen shots and stuff.
The green screen shots I'm not a fan of, but I like the location. I like the kind of shadowy...
Yeah, I love
nature
all that.
...of it. Because they could have easily done another fucking wintry ballad video.
Yeah, but this is a bit more sexy after dark as opposed to...
Yeah.
Cheesy white ballad.
Exactly.
And I do like that a lot about it.
Yes. That it felt contemporary, which, you know, sometimes with these S Club 7 videos, it's not contemporary. It's not part of the brief. It's not part of the mood.
Yeah. They could look more like they're an R&B band releasing a ballad as opposed to the look for the Never Had a Dream Come True.
Yes.
Campaign.
Yes. And, I mean, look at this single artwork. Everyone's in black. Black leather. That was very popular.
Sharpay and Ryan.
You're pointing at Hannah and John. Hannah's looking like she's wearing some glamorous pyjamas.
Yeah, Hannah looks gorgeous.
Look at Bradley with this shirt and that vest. That was me at a formal.
Oh,
my year
prom.
12 formal. Yeah, that's the look.
Rachel. We both pointed at the same time.
I mean, you can tell, like, the homosexuals are drawn to a pop star. Look at her, giving you an over-the-shoulder glance.
Oh, were we taking the picture?
Oh, I didn't know. Paul and Joe look like they're sort of Men in Black kind of poses.
In a good way.
And these two, Bradley and...
couple.
Tina, yeah, they're the prom couple. Couple at the prom. She's even got the tight curls in there.
Bless her.
Yeah.
Looking gorgeous in a lovely dress there as well.
Yeah. But this is the pop duo we needed.
Yeah.
Hannah, you know, and John.
Hannah and John, the H and Claire of S Club 7. You know that Hannah is Harry's favourite member of S Club 7. He just loves her. Which great. Is great.
Great. We all have like our faves that you don't need to explain. Like, if you just love someone, you love someone. Yeah. It's like me loving vitamin C, you know?
Yeah.
It may not make sense to a lot of people, but if it's yours, it's yours.
So the Children in Need version of Have You Ever is listed in the Guinness Book of World Records as having the highest number of people's voices recorded in a single song. As recordings from children in schools across the UK were used in the chorus.
Wow.
And S Club Juniors as well. Because I remember, which maybe I said in the S Club Juniors episode, this was the first time we ever kind of, this was the first appearance of S Club Juniors as a band.
Yeah, on TV, yeah.
But they just pop up on the chorus sort of a little bit on sort of on the stairs. I sat there at home like, all that for that? Glad I didn't get it. Cut to One Step Close comes out. I'm like,
gag.
Serve.
So the single made number one in the UK, certifying gold. Sadly, it's the last S Club 7 number one single to date. Very shocking because, like I just said, I felt like everyone in Australia really got this song. Like, it, we took it to heart. Charted at number 49.
David.
Now, a week after this Children in Need single comes out, S Club 7 released their third studio album, Sunshine.
A strange release time as well, November, for an album called Sunshine. It worked. I had it.
It worked in Australia because it was sunny out there. It's our
That's
summer.
That's why they were pushing you to the album. Sunshine's out. Sunshine. Sunshine. Get sunshine.
I was definitely very aware of this album. I saw this everywhere on all the shelves. It was heavily promoted in Australia, whereas I don't really remember seeing the first two albums. Maybe I glossed over it. But this one, because, you know, coming off the back of two huge singles, I was like, okay, hello, S Club 7. And they look stunning. Like, everyone's a little bit more grown up and everyone is just...
Yeah, I mean, this is a signature shot. It was used for the poster of the reunion tour in 2015.
Was it? Wow.
I actually think it's, and it is the thing of seven people. Like, Rachel looks gorgeous regardless, but there are definitely better pictures of her, you know? But I feel like it was, everyone else is like, we look great, so we're using this one. And she does, don't get me wrong, she looks amazing.
Now, musical direction of this one, I am really appreciating what they're doing with Sunshine. They've gone for a really light, Max Martin-esque pop direction here.
Mm.
It feels like what they were trying to do with the second album in maturing S Club 7... they did it successfully with this one without losing the fun.
This is like peak. I would say that if you're going to listen to an album, listen to this album.
This S Club 7 album.
This is S Club 7.
Mm. Now, it's not on streaming.
It's not on streaming, which is a crime.
Shall we talk about the key album tracks here?
Yes.
What were your favourites?
Obviously, the Rachel-led Show Me Your Colours.
I have to say, not very memorable for me. But, you know, you as a Rachel stan, you got to do what you got to do, Joel. So, you know, you say what you got to say. But, yeah. Show me your colours, show me. Don't break this spell I'm in, please don't break my heart. Show me your colours, baby. Tell me who you really are.
And Show Me Your Colours was tipped to be released, but plans were scrapped.
Mm.
And allegedly, videos for Summertime Feeling and Show Me Your Colours were shot during Hollywood 7. So we don't know if that's the musical sequences they showed in the film, in the TV show. Now, I'll tell you who must have been gutted. Remixes for Stronger were sent to clubs, and it was indicated that it was going to be the follow-up single to You, but the release was cancelled due to Paul leaving the band. But you know who's the lead singer on Stronger? Tina Barrett.
Tina, honey, that could have been your moment. She really is S Club 7's queen of clubs. She's the Danny Minogue of S Club 7. Let And if you loved Don't Stop Moving, they definitely gave you lots of other similar flavors on this album to enjoy. Dance, Dance, Dance. Very campy, very ABBA-esque disco pop.
I can't believe that's one of your favourites. It's fun. It's awful, fun. But it's fun.
No, but yeah, it's... If you're there for Don't Stop Moving, you wouldn't mind having something else sort of similar to it, just to keep up your energy. Boy Like You is probably my favourite.
Boy Like You is...
It should have been a single.
It should have been a single. It is one of my favourite tracks off the album.
Mm.
Another Rachel Stevens-led song. And there's a real awful, well, it's not awful, but there's this cringy, like, Children in Need or Red Nose Day performance of the girl, just the girls performing this, dancing round sexily. The guy who played Dirty Den on EastEnders is sat there in a chair. So it's like,
that's not right, man. That's not right for S Club 7, is it? It's not the right look.
But Boy Like You is a great, great track. Summertime Feeling's also really, really lovely. Paul's got a co-write on that. Good for you, Paul.
Right Guy, I love that. It sounds like a blues single. It's nice to hear the boys singing.
Yeah, and Bradley's got a co-write on that. Get it, Bradlers?
Get it.
A lovely session of him and Kathy Dennis there. And then obviously Never Had a Dream Come True is also on the album as well.
As a bonus track, because it was on the last album.
But only on the re-release.
Yeah, but they want to make sure you got it on this one as well.
Yeah, get it on there. In the meat. Yeah, whack that on there, mate. Get that on there, you know.
So, the album Sunshine made number 3 in the UK. It actually spent 3 consecutive weeks in that position, again, trying to crack in that top 2, but it didn't. Nevertheless, huge seller, double platinum. It spent 27 weeks in the top 100, which, Joel, I'm really surprised, because considering the first album spent about 50 weeks on a chart, second album 69 weeks, this one only 27 weeks.
Only.
Yeah, but compared to the other two, and this is the definitive album with 2 big singles.
Yeah, but it was released in November. Imagine it out at Christmas.
Good gift, though. Good stocking filler.
Good gift. I clearly had it.
Yeah. Oh, you got it for Christmas?
I'm guessing so.
Yeah. Number 62 in Australia.
62 in Australia. Yeah, 13 on the European albums charts. 13 in New Zealand.
Go on, New Zealand.
Welcome back, New Zealand. And it was 17 on our year-end charts in 2001. So, wow, it was released in November and it's still at 17 on the year-end charts.
Big.
So it went gold in Canada, 50,000 copies. 2 times platinum in the United Kingdom, 600,000 copies. Oh, my God. And do you know where else it went gold, David? New Zealand. And do you know how many copies it sold to go gold in New Zealand? 7,500. I'll take it. Thank you, New Zealand.
Thank you, New Zealand.
My album is dropping in New Zealand.
You're doing a tour of New Zealand. All the regional gay clubs.
Oh, yeah, that'd be fabulous.
So now that takes us to the start of 2002, where they're going back on tour. S Club 7 Carnival 2002, their second tour. It certainly looked like they were on their way up. They're touring regularly now. They've got hit singles left, right and centre. They won their second Brit Award for Best British Single for Don't Stop Moving.
Deserved. Imagine if they did like the Brit Awards, like the Best British Singles of each year.
Mm-hmm.
Like ultimate fight to the death.
Well, like an All-Stars.
Yeah.
Do they ever perform at the Brits?
Oh, they must have.
You sure about it?
No.
I don't think they have. Quickly Google YouTube. You are all I need to get me through. Like a shooting star.
Like one Best British Newcomer, Best British Single.
What the hell is that? That's not the Brits.
This was a bad haircut for Joe. Where are they, Butlins? Oh, they did Don't Stop Moving at the Brits Are Coming.
Oh, sounds like a pre-Brit event.
Mm.
That's a shame that the Brits have never had them perform.
There's still time.
So in February 2002, the same month as the Brit Awards, S Club 7 dropped their new single, You.
What I love about this song is that a bunch of the S Club 7 have vocals on it.
This was originally meant to be the single that ushered you into the album, but in the last minute it got switched. They spent clearly a bit of money and a lot of time doing an amazing, I think, amazing music video for this
single. Yeah, you say spent a lot of money. I love the setup. Don't get me wrong, I love the music video, it's great.
The problem with this is You is not on their YouTube channel. You can't find a proper version of it on YouTube, which I think is crazy.
I know, you
crazy.
Have to go to Vimeo.
Yeah, I think it's absolutely insane. It's got a fantastic retro 60s feel to it. You know, it's very much S Club 7 sort of parodying Judy Jetson.
Yeah.
The Jetsons kind of house of the future from the 60s perspective.
Yeah, and it's shot like a sitcom as well, but it doesn't seem like a stylistic choice. It just seems like it's...
Do you think it's, so?
Yeah, it's a real fun throwback video. This is horrible what I'm going to say, but I've always thought it. The storyline of the video...
Bizarre.
...is that each boy is kind of teeing up to go out with Rachel and then Joe steals them. There's no world where that would ever happen. And I'm sorry, that is horrible of me. It's like, come on, this isn't realistic. I thought that when I was 10 years old.
I'm the real house-proud housewife, I guess. Very prim and proper. Perfectly dressed and not hair out of place.
I just want to tell you, I've never ever felt this way.
And Joe takes my men away from me every time.
And I also thought it was a real shame that we didn't get to see Rachel doing some of that really great partner work choreography in the video.
She was in the centre of it. She was in the centre of the narrative.
I know, but she would have killed it. She okay, would have killed Joel. It.
Okay. It's such a... You know, sonically as well, I don't particularly like this single. I think it's... I'm not a fan of the retro sounds that S Club 7 do.
But disco pop, on the other hand, you
Oh,
love.
Disco pop is, like, right up my street. Especially disco pop of that time in the early noughties. But anything sort of weirdly cheesy retro, throwback to the 60s, nah, you can keep that. Look what I have in front of me. A poster from the You CD single. Again, thanks, Dan. Of Move to Trash podcast, who we...
See, now that is stylistically stunning. Like, that is like a... That is a cinema poster, which is lovely. And then you've got a twink trying to make it on Scruff.
That's John, in case you didn't know.
Then you've got someone from Scruff.
Is this the first time we're seeing Paul and his goatee trying to look like some member of Limp Bizkit?
Paul's on it, like, just he's like... I'm contractually here.
Yeah. This is the last music video we would see Paul in.
Unfortunately.
Even though technically the last video he shot for the band was Have You Ever.
I love Hannah's look in this video. It's so fun.
Very Rizzo-esque.
More like a sort of even closer to being like a 20s flapper girl-ish. That's Rizzo-esque.
Joe Amira. You made number 2 on the UK charts. Obviously, lots of pressure riding on this one because the last 3 singles, S Club 7, have gone number 1.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I guess some people would say, ooh, they missed out on number 1 and that kind of talk.
Who says that? Who would have said that?
All the press at the time. You know what it's like, Joel.
I know what
it's like. You know what it's like back then. Would you say this feels like a forgotten single?
Definitely not. It's a signature.
How many fucking signatures do they have?
At least 7. They're S Club 7. No, this is a real much-loved song. Definitely not forgotten.
Okay, I'm going to ask around and see.
I would say, like, You're My Number One's more forgotten than this is. You've even forgotten that you just spoke about it.
Yeah. So around this time, Paul announced that he was leaving the band.
Their last ever performance with Paul was at the Queen's Golden Jubilee, I believe. That was, as a kid, it was a real, like, big thing, the Queen's Jubilee.
It's always a big television moment because a lot of big stars perform at these Queen birthday things.
That, and then my primary school had this big evening party that you had to buy tickets to, but like parents came to, like it was a family thing.
What, buy tickets to what? To watch it?
No, they put like a marquee up in the playground and like, so yeah, it was quite exciting.
It's quite a nice community feel.
Yeah, none of the others have been like that for me personally since, but that one was quite like, wow. So I was just distracted, even though Paul was leaving.
So it turns out S Club 7's contracts were up for renewal and Paul didn't want to renew. Is that what the line is? He wanted to focus on rock music.
Rock music, like Ashley Simpson.
He was inspired by Limp Bizkit. He wanted to move in a different direction, something like that. I mean,
it's a shame, like, he could have just stayed for a little bit longer and they'd all ended it together.
Yeah, but, you know, at that time,
if you've got to go for your happiness and your well-being and just if you just need to go.
But the other six wanted to continue. They all renewed their contracts. And it sounds like, from what I read somewhere, they got more money this time around. Rightfully so.
Rightfully so.
So they were soldiering on. They were going to do another album. They're going to continue as a six-piece. This time, they've renamed themselves as just S Club. There were talks in the press. People were worried because, you know, at that time, big, big pop groups, every time they've lost a member, they've had a bit of a wobble. Jerry with the Spice Girls, Robbie would take that. So people were wondering, is this going to happen to S Club 7 as well now that Paul's... I know it seems a bit ridiculous at the time.
No, it was a big deal.
Press really was shaking the table at this news that, you know, they've lost a member, they've had to rename. And what does S Club 7 do? Or I should say S Club? They came back in November that year, new single, Alive.
I love Alive. It is just like trying to recreate Don't Stop
Moving. It really is.
And
the moment might have passed a little.
Yeah, and I was saying to you the other day, when pop bands try and enforce on you that they're better than ever, and that
you mean lyrically
like they're saying when lyrics are, I still remember it was day number one, we hit the ground and then we started to run, and then they're singing about how now they're so alive, like it's better than ever. It's basically like what we had with Right Back At You, which ended up being the title of this podcast. So it's not necessarily a bad thing, but when they're trying to force it down your throat, there's a reason why they're being a bit too much with it. You know,
it just didn't have the same sparkle or magic of Don't Stop Moving, but you can tell all the parts were cut from the same cloth. It's the same producer, same songwriters. It just, and let me tell you, this chorus slaps as well. I like it.
Yeah,
it feels like a real kind of, I'm gonna go off, you know, it's like
the chorus slaps. And look, this is not any shade or anything, but I don't think any of that six sung on the chorus. Like, that just sounds like generic backing vocals.
Do you don't think that sounds like Joe singing?
The ad-libs sound like Joe.
Mm.
So that, I'm feeling so, that's her. But the chorus...
You really
that's
don't...
That's session singers.
You really don't think they sang on that? Wow. I mean, I guess you're a super fan and you've listened to them.
I'm sure they're blended in somewhere, but it's like, that's a sound I've never heard before. Like, Bradley's vocals there, Joe's vocals there for their individual parts, yeah. But it is a bit jarring to see, like, Hannah mouthing this chorus and things, and it's like, that vocal's nowhere to be heard.
That's not your vocal, love.
Fans do kind of stipulate that Paul, they can hear Paul's voice on it. I can't personally.
Actually, it's funny, actually, because Paul used to sing the new single. And then... Yeah.
So didn't really feel alive.
Oh yeah, I loved it.
You loved it.
I'm just saying that I can see that to me personally seem to be these set of faults.
Yeah.
So what? It's still a bop.
Yeah. If they had kept this song back and released it in, say, 2014 or 2015 when they had their comeback performance, maybe people would have bought into it a little bit more. Because it didn't feel so close to Don't Stop Moving. Yeah. Do you know what I mean? There's a little bit of distance and then we can accept this song as, hey, it's not them trying to prove themselves. It's just them trying to have a good time and recapture the nostalgia. So that's how I feel, that we would have received this very differently if it was presented to us as the big comeback single, one-off comeback single in 2014. Kind of like what Girls Aloud did with Something New.
Yes, you make a very, very good point. So we have to say, Joe's got the lead female vocal on this song, but our girl Rachel Stevens, Rachel Lauren Stevens, did the lead vocals on the promo for it.
Joe had very bad back problems around this time that forced her out of work completely. She couldn't perform properly, or couldn't even stand, right? Was it that bad?
I think so, yeah. So
they went into the studio with Rachel, got her to record her bits so they could carry on promoting it. And I read somewhere that there was talks of doing Joe's version for CD1 and a Rachel version for CD2.
That would have been incredible, wouldn't it?
There wouldn't be a single copy of CD2 left. You would have bought them all.
Yeah, I mean, that would have been a great promo campaign, I think.
Yeah. Joe or Rachel, which would you
choose? No, not like that. But also a bit of exclusivity on each, which will help bolster the... But I guess I wonder if there's rules of, like, different versions and stuff for the charts.
Or maybe Joe Amira's like, fuck off, you're leaving my vocals on all the CDs.
I'm lying in bed on my back, I've got back problems. I've given you the track, and you're telling me that Rachel Lauren Stevens is going to be the lead vocal on CD2? Nah, mate. But Rachel also did the lead vocals on Dance for some promo appearances for this album. So... it has a very cool music video, them all in a club, trying to be slightly a little bit more grown up. Everyone does look absolutely fantastic. We must give them that due. Little shout out to our girl Tina. She co-wrote the B-side Discotheque, which she has the lead vocal on.
Yes, Tina. You know, she is persistent. She's in there. She's like, I'm going to write something you guys can't refuse. I'm going to get my moment. So shout out, Tina.
This is the lowest selling S Club single, but impressively a number five, peaking at number five single. I'll take that if that's my lowest selling and charting single. That's a very impressive feat for a pop band in this time.
I mean, it was said when Paul left, the band felt like, oh, you know, we're going to be okay. We're going to pull through. We're going to be all right. But then when they saw that this made number five, I think the team felt a bit shaken by it. They weren't used to not doing super, super, super well. But considering all things that's happened, you know, they didn't have Joe for the promo. They were doing it as a five-piece. You know, the press was probably giving them a hard time about, you know, members are dropping like flies.
It's confusing for the fans as well.
Yeah, and the name change, let's not forget that. You try to find this era, it's S Club. They've not unified that on streaming services, have they? Alive made number 30 in Australia. I mean, considering the low chart position of Have You Ever, I don't know how we all jumped on this one.
Australia hated Paul this whole time, apparently, maybe, and they're just like, great.
Now we can get behind this.
It was also 166 in the year 2002's year-end chart.
Crazy. Around this time, while they were doing this, they were also filming their... first movie.
Feature.
This
film.
Is a theatrical release, but we'll get to that in a sec, because now in November 2002, they have their fourth studio album.
Seeing Double.
Okay, now this I completely missed at the time of release, but have in the past week been immersing myself in it, and I have to say, this is very me.
Didn't I say that to you?
Yeah.
I said, oh yeah, it's very you, that album.
I wasn't sure if you were being shady or not.
No, it's just like...
You're just stating facts.
This is their forever. Like, this is their, like, R&B album.
It's not fully R&B. Come on now.
But it's pop R&B. There's it's S-Club doing R&B. Like, I was listening to it today and I was like, ooh, this is quite jarring for the fans.
The new album's a lot more dancey, I think. Obviously, it's got the ballads on there and it's got a few pop tracks or whatever, but mainly I think it's very dancey and upbeat.
Seeing Double is a more dance-oriented album. There are lots of different flavours of dance music being shown here. I guess at this time, Liberty X was very hot. That type of pop R&B sound was really working, and S Club just needed to grow their sound out a little bit. I'm not so sure if Alive was necessarily the right choice as the lead single.
What would you have picked?
Whole Lot of Nothing.
Mm.
If you're really trying to give us a bit more R&B on this album, lead with a good pop R&B track. Whole Lot of Nothing. Love that track. Any other standouts for you from this?
Yes. Who Do You Think You Are? Not to be confused with the Spice Girls song.
Mm-hmm. And the track immediately after that, Do It Till We Drop.
Yeah, great song.
Now, I've got something for you about these two. It was co-written and produced by Johnny, one half of True Steppers. Out of your mind.
Wow. Name a more iconic duo. Another track I absolutely love on this album is Dance.
Not to be confused with Dance, Dance, Dance no. from the last album.
So this song's really good. Dance, Dance, Dance. Not my favourite. Hey Kitty Kitty, that might be one for you. That's another Hannah-led vocal.
Yeah.
We've also got Gangsta Love. Can you believe there's a song called Gangsta Love on an S Club album?
I mean, Gangsta Love, what do they know about that?
I don't know, but it's quite a bop. And yeah, that's the album for me. But yeah, Who Do You Think You Are? When You're a Clone, You Know You're Never Alone.
I mean, this song was specifically written with the film in mind. That lyric, in what other context would that work? Seeing Double, the album, mind you, this came out way before the movie. Came out in November, the movie would come out in April.
Oh my goodness.
I know, weird, right? So the album came out in November, it hit number 17 on the UK albums chart, tumbled out of the top 30 in its second week. It only spent 9 weeks on the charts. This is not a good outcome for the band. You know, you're meant to be building up this momentum towards this film that comes out in April. Your debut theatrical release film.
I feel like I can't even look you in the eye. I feel like I'm being told off. It's not good, is it?
I'm so sorry.
No, no.
Earlier in the episode, you were like, yeah, this is good. This is amazing. It's iconic. Now you're like, tail between your legs.
Oh, I'm sorry. I'll try better next time. Although it looks like there's a big gap from Seeing Double the album coming out and the film, we actually had Viva S Club in this time beforehand. So again, that might be another reason why it was a little bit confusing for the fans. So we have their fourth and final TV show, Viva S Club, which follows S Club in Spain this time. And also we see the departure of Paul, unfortunately, in the group.
No!
John, what are you doing?
I'm keeping Paul in here until he promises not to leave the band. Open the door!
John, you can't do that. It's kidnapping.
And blackmail, and extortion, and forced imprisonment, and lots of other really bad things.
Yeah, but people make mistakes. And I think if he stays in here long enough, he might change his mind.
Hey, guys. I've heard a lot of people saying that they don't want me to go because they'll miss me, and things won't be the same. But in life, things never stay the same. And I'm not doing this to make you unhappy. I just want us to remember all the good times that we've had. And remember that the good times that will be had in the future. And also, the most important thing to remember is that we're all still good friends.
So he's in the first three episodes, they've made it in America, and now they've got to start from square one again in Europe because they're not famous in Europe.
How ironic. Couldn't be further from reality. But I love that. They really are non-stop going. And the theme song for Viva S Club, this fourth and final TV series, is Alive. So there's a little bit of connection there. The music is still being tied into it. I assume there are other tracks from this Scene double album that's heavily featured in that. So it really serves that. I think the album, even though it's called Scene double, serves more for Viva S Club.
Oh, yeah.
Why didn't they just fucking call the album Viva S Club?
Technically, on some levels, Seeing Double's like the theatrical film finale of all their TV shows. Not really, but technically kind of.
Mm.
They kind of start in Spain, so it is technically continued from Viva S Club, but it's very standalone at the same time.
Yeah.
Yeah, come on. The biggest pop band in the world, in their first ever movie, S Club, Seeing Double. Join the band in the adventure of their lives.
Arrested.
And with two of everyone, you've never seen them like this before.
Come here.
Wow, they really are identical.
April 2003, Seeing Double, the movie, debuts 4 years after S Club 7 burst into the world. It's directed by Nigel Dick, who you love. You try to sit me down to watch this?
Yeah, we sat down and watched this.
We watched this in full, or I...
We watched it in full.
Okay.
This film... So, yeah, I'd kind of dwindled, and then I didn't see it until it came out on DVD, and I rented it out of curiosity. The concept is... Hugely successful pop band, S Club, are on tour. They're moaning that they want a break. The manager goes, it's a great album, but you've got to promote it. There will come a day that no one will buy your albums. Ha ha ha, and even I won't return your calls. They wake up in the hotel the next day. They've missed their flight. Ah, why didn't you wake us? So they think their manager's playing a trick on them because they're seeing S Club starting to do all these promo gigs and stuff. And they're like, what?
What? We are S Club. Who are they?
Long story short, they've been cloned.
Yep. Evil record company people. How dare they?
Actual S Club get sent to prison for impersonating the S Club, which means they do this amazing big dance sequence of Don't Stop Moving in the Spanish prison. Really, really good fun.
I remember the last scene.
Who do you think you are?
Yeah, where they had all the celebrities or...
Gareth Gates. And then the actual Gareth Gates and then, like, impersonators.
Yeah. So you've got someone a Michael Jackson impersonator playing Michael Jackson. Elton.
Madonna.
David Beckham. But then they get actual real-life Gareth Gates.
19 management label mate.
to play himself.
So I have to say as well, they did, because Jo had her back issues, it is noticeable in the film. There's like dance scenes when in the big S Club 7 scene, they're all dancing and she's just kind of like holding the keys to get out of the prison with. And then they all run up the stairs, turn and say bye. But just as a close-up shot of the five of them, Jo's just not in that shot.
She never escaped.
No, and then it cuts to them all leaving the prison.
Mm.
But she just didn't. She's not running up the routine.
Stairs. Yeah.
And then they all run, and then it's like a joke that it's just like next door. So she just walks next door or a little bit down the road, and they've all done a run for ages, and she's waiting like, what took you so long? And then the clones are rehearsing the dance sequence, the song dance, and the Jo clone's not getting it. So the choreographer says, sit down, take it in. So then she's sitting, like, trying to learn it.
Look, it is very silly. It's very good fun. I mean, if you just want, like, just a little bit of brainless, cheesy fun, definitely go seek this out. With the release of this, apparently Simon Fuller didn't even attend the premiere.
For the, in a PR sense, they were in national press the next day because of what Teen Award to the premiere.
Oh, iconic.
A very revealing dress.
It was a low-hanging red dress, wasn't it?
But it kind of, like, wrapped around, yeah. So there was a lot of skin shown.
Yeah, very strategically layered. And everyone else just sort of looked like they dressed for a whole different event. You've got to give props to Tina. I mean, I don't know if they all planned it this way or she just kind of showed up in a hotel lobby as they're all climbing into the car. She's like, hi, guys.
Yeah.
That's something I would definitely do. Pulling a stunt is very me in a pop band. It's safe to say this movie didn't do very well in the box office, or...
Well, it went to number 4 in the box office here. That's pretty impressive. I think it did kind of well for what it was.
But it was no Spice World.
I think Spice World gets better with age. It's a genuinely good British comedy.
Mm-hmm.
As I've said numerous times, it has no right to be as good as it is, and I'm so thankful that it is.
Yeah. It felt like where Spice World arrived at the height of the Spice Girls' success, this sort of felt like...
It's seeing them out.
It's seeing them out in a very sad way, yeah.
I felt like their TV shows were doing always did so well. Mm. I think a theatrical film was on the cards from quite early on, and it just took so long for it to happen.
Maybe they shouldn't have done the second or third season and gone straight to a theatrical release at the height of their success, do you think?
No. In theory, yes, but those TV shows were so good. And do you know what? That's the shame as well, because the TV shows were so good that it's a shame that the film doesn't match that.
Yeah. So here's the thing. Around the time of the movie premiere, there were lots of rumours that this was it for S Club. Like, they were splitting up. And the band denied it furiously in the press.
Well, you'd have to, wouldn't you?
Yeah. I mean, that's what they did what they were told to do, deny it. Because they didn't want that to overshadow what was going on with the film. They want fans to come out and see it, support it, get excited. Because they were going on tour as well. They had the S Club United tour. You know, it's meant to be boom, boom, boom. We're busy and getting books. Come and see us. No, we're not splitting up. No, we're not splitting up. 10 days after the movie premieres... They announced their split on stage.
During the S Club United tour. They announced it on stage during the tour.
Yeah.
And it was streamed live to like CD UK or something.
Are you joking me?
So tonight we've got some good news and a little bit of bad news. The bit of bad news is something that has been in the papers a lot recently. But we felt it was very important that we told you here tonight from us. Tonight we're here to announce, a little bit sad, but we will be splitting... But don't panic, guys. Please don't panic. The good news... Not just yet.
Yeah, the good news is that we're still together for another month yet, and the S Club Juniors are still here staying together, yeah. And they're going to carry on the S Club name.
What? Yeah. There's some junior fans out there. But listen, we don't want to see any sad faces, okay? Because you started, and then I'm about to sing. And...
Yikes.
And then I remember seeing it on Newsround. All these kids crying, coming out of the concert. It was a mess.
Oh my God.
It was dramatic.
No, that is fucking dramatic. Especially, I love how extra it was. We're doing a live cross to CD UK, breaking news, live from fucking Hammersmith Apollo or wherever it is.
Oh, it's an arena tour, darling.
Manchester Arena or whatever it is. And they introduce Say Goodbye. It's too much to take in.
I know.
I hit pause for a minute. Don't sing the new single that's going to be your final single. I cannot process this just yet.
And it's available in the foyer.
We'll be signing copies at HMV in a few weeks.
This tour...
You can tell why the fans were upset and angry. Because they probably felt a bit betrayed. Like, bitch, we be new and you lied to us.
We've gone to the cinema. We've forked out to see this tour. And this is it?
Yeah.
So that tour, it was a co-headlining tour with S Club Juniors. Obviously, S Club, if you look into it, S Club Juniors have a small set at the beginning and then S Club have a big show. But it was an S Club United show and it's never been recorded or released.
Are you joking me? This is not on DVD. The final tour.
All you can really see is this clip from this announcement.
It's a real shame that a band that was so meticulously marketed from the beginning and then at the end it sort of just unraveled and it just sort of like, oh, we don't really give a shit. Not saying the band didn't give a shit, but it just kind of felt like the general vibe was, you know, from the team, maybe management, I don't know what it is, the label, everyone's sort of like, do you know what? It's too hard of an uphill battle to keep this going. you could just feel the exhaustion that they're like, yeah, guess what? We'll just read this out on stage.
I think they knew the time was right for them. Look, they did end on a high in many ways, a theatrical film and a huge arena tour. And you've got S Club Juniors continuing on the brand name, becoming S Club 8.
Shall we talk about the final single then, Say Goodbye? I mean, it couldn't be more on the nose, could it?
Oh, it's incredible though.
Nothing lasts forever though we want it to. The road ahead holds different dreams for me.
I love that music video. It's just
like music so video dramatic. Is so sad.
So sad. They're all packing up their belongings in the S Club house, you know, boxes everywhere, people reminiscing on their press cuttings. They're watching their old music videos and TV shows together. Everyone looks gorgeous and beautiful, but like no one's like, it's not like, oh, look sad. It was all like, look neutral, look, yeah, laugh. And reminisce on the happy times. Don't look too upset for the fans.
The colour toning's all very neutral as well. It's sort of like that cream.
Yeah, they do love a cream kind of...
Well, it was very popular for, like, rich houses in the early noughties.
Yeah.
To have that kind of colour tone. So, you know how you were saying you really wanted to have sung Vitamin C's Graduation? I always wanted to do...
Did I say that?
Like, as in you... Well, no, sorry, you said you were upset that you'd missed the opportunity for that to be your graduation song.
Yes.
I always wanted this to be, like, my school's graduation song. Ooh. Big number.
Dramatic.
Some of the lyrics, though, maybe we'll see each other standing on the same street corner, no regrets. Like, you're not going to say hi to each other? In a year from now, maybe there'll be things we wish we never said.
I'm holding my copy of the Say Goodbye / Love Ain't Gonna Wait For You double A-side single. Track 4, Say Goodbye video and goodbye messages from Rachel, Tina and Bradley.
Hello everyone. As you can probably hear, I'm backstage at Wembley at the moment on our last show ever as S Club. But I would just like to say a massive, massive thank you to everyone, to all our fans for all your support over the last 4 or 5 years. You've all been absolutely fantastic. So thank you so much and I hope to see you soon.
Where's everyone else?
Must be on CD2.
Wait, huh?
We don't have both CDs.
They can't split up the goodbye messages over 2 CDs. I don't have CD2. I guess I'll never get that goodbye from Hannah. Now, Joe? Amira?
We are both from Romford, so...
Joel, I do love the other single on this.
Love Ain't Gonna Wait For You.
Love Ain't Gonna Wait For You.
Which is also kind of sad tonally in the lyrics at the same time as well, you know?
Yeah, it's sort of like, bye.
Bye.
You know I love a cheap noughties disco pop banger, and this one is it. It is Butlins to a T.
But you know what was nice? Was that they did announce their split and they had a kind of goodbye and celebratory fight few months. Like one kids TV show did like a big farewell special with S Club on it. Whereas other bands, like the Spice Girls, when they broke up, it was just a break and then it never came back. So at least we got to have like a send-off.
They ripped the Band-Aid out and then just let it heal. So, Joel, this single made number one in Scotland.
Thank you, Scotland. Thank you.
Yeah, that's a proper goodbye there. Thank you, Scotland. Number two on the UK singles charts. So people went out in support of this one.
Six in Ireland.
Number 75 in Australia. We weren't ready to say goodbye.
No. 84 in Germany. Neither were they. They really weren't. And it was 53 on the UK singles end of year charts here in the UK for the year 2003. So we must briefly say as well, at the end of 2002, S Club released a US-only compilation album called Don't Stop Moving, which was a mix of the Sunshine album and the Seeing Double album.
Wow.
So even though it felt like they were kind of teetering out on the way out, like sort of calming down, they were still trying to crack America.
But they didn't promote it now, did they? It was just an album that was serviced out, wasn't it?
Yeah.
Yes, Don't Stop Moving, the US-only compilation album from S Club. It uses the artwork of Seeing Double. It's basically like a mashup of both albums. You've got Don't Stop Moving in there, and then it goes straight to Whole Lot of Nothing.
You've got both Dance and Dance, Dance, Dance on one album.
There's a lot of dancing going on this album. Gangster Love, because that's what Americans love, Gangster Love. You've got Have You Ever in there. You, ugh, didn't need it, but
David.
Sure. Being dismissive. I think I might prefer this album, you know.
Oh, you would have loved it. Well, yeah. They're your two favourite albums mixed together.
Yeah, sure. What could go wrong here? And then before we leave it completely and literally say goodbye to S Club / S Club 7, 2003, they release Best, the greatest hits of S Club 7.
Yes, they do. And it was a big success. It was a greatest hits compilation. They released it both on CD and on DVD. They didn't do a combo, though, so they was like, we're getting these separate sales, you know?
Mm-hmm.
Included all 13 singles. Bonus track, Everybody Get Pumped. And it went to number two here in the UK. It was re-released in 2015.
When they came back for their reunion, yeah.
With bonus track Rain, which was previously unreleased. And Rain is a little bit like S Club's The Original Doll, in terms of fans had been demanding Rain to be released for years.
Oh, how do
they know? Because you can hear a snippet of it in Viva S Club.
Oh, okay.
And then it never got released, not as a B-side, nothing. All we had was this clip from Viva S Club. For once, a label actually took note of that, because normally they'd just churn it out, they wouldn't care. And they released this previously unreleased song that the fans really wanted to hear.
Oh, that's sweet.
Like, yeah. We didn't even know if there was a finished version out there.
And there it was, sitting in Simon Fuller's hard drive the whole time.
That is it for S Club 7. They came back in 2015 and did the Bring It All Back tour. It was an arena reunion tour. And David, me and Harry went, and it was incredible. I'll be honest, it was actually one of the best nights of my adult life.
Not surprised.
That's why I have a bit of a raspy voice today, is because I've still got a sore throat from it. Even though it was 4 years ago. I couldn't stop screaming Rachel all night. Harry couldn't stop screaming Hannah. And it was just beautiful. Rachel did Sweet Dreams, Male X and Some Girl medley. Paul got flack when they came back, kind of joking that he wasn't looking good and he wouldn't get down on the floor. I fancied Paul a lot in that reunion tour. I thought he looked bloody great coming back.
I think your taste in men obviously change
from when I was 10 to...
And he is in keeping with what you fancy now, maybe.
I think he looked really well on that tour. He looked like he scrubbed up really well.
And as long as he's happy.
Yeah. And I'm sorry, he looked bloody handsome. The public are quick to do is mock people for aging. It's like we all age.
Mm. Or what's really prevalent these days is they wouldn't outwardly mock someone for aging, but they will overly praise someone for looking youthful.
Oh, no, don't say that. We say that all the time. So S Club came back in 2015, gave us an amazing reunion tour, and it was just a real celebration. There was no documentary. There was no, we're going to do more. They just gave us an arena tour, and it was incredible. And obviously, we're releasing this to celebrate 20 years of S Club 7. They had teased about it, that it was spoken about, but unfortunately, nothing's come into fruition. I'm still really hoping they might do something, or get back for 25 years of S Club 7, or 21 years, or whenever the hell you want. Just get back together. The fans are still here and ready to do another arena tour whenever you want.
Can you imagine 21 years of S Club 7 supported by S Club Juniors?
That would be incredible.
That would be quite a show. That would be brilliant and lots of fun.
The S Club United tour again.
Yeah, the S Club reunited
tour.
You're welcome, Simon Fuller. Listen, Joel, it's been so much fun checking out this pop band that I really should have, for a very long time, been across every detail of.
You should have.
I really should have been. But it was more enjoyable taking this in through your eyes and on this journey with you. And it's just, I never imagined that the S Club universe was so expansive and there was so much going on.
Do you feel like through doing this episode, it's a bit more natural to your liking than me forcing it to you?
I think I'm just used to you forcing things on me now. This is like our, what, 18th episode or 17th episode? I just accept it. It's been fun.
Well, David, thank you for letting me take you on this trip down memory lane.
20 years of S Club 7, guys.
20 years of S Club 7. Thank you to all seven members of S Club 7 for being such a joy to me in my life and being the ultimate pop group to me.
Thank you for your contribution to pop.
Yeah, they need their contribution to British Music Award.
Mm-hmm.
Guys, we are ready and waiting for you to get back together whenever you want. This has been Right Back At You, the Naughties Pop Music Podcast. We're at Right Back Pod on all socials. Please do give us a follow. If you've enjoyed it, give us a 5-star review and a little comment. Please feel free to share it on your socials and share it with your friends. We've seen the Spice Girls reunion tour, David, and wasn't it fucking incredible?
It was absolutely everything. So you and I went on the first night. We're just going to do this now. People
first
were asking,
London night.
People are going to like, oh, you should do a standalone episode. We're just going to, are we just going to do this? We're just going to tack it on at the end?
Well, I think so, because when will we get it out there otherwise?
Yeah. It's hard enough trying to finish the S Club episode. So let's just push the Spice Girls in there. It was amazing. I actually think this is better than the last reunion tour, even though I didn't see it with my own eyes. And you did.
I did. So I, as I told you, every morning at work, we do a team stand-up where we talk about the team, what we're doing as a team, what content's going on, what's being made, and then individually what we're all working on at the moment. But the day after the Spice World tour, there was no stand-up. I just gave everyone a 10-minute talk about our Spice Girls experience.
Welcome to my TED Talk.
Welcome to my TED Talk. And I had applause. Everyone was gripped. I had questions after. It was really, really...
It was a press conference.
It was the press conference of our experience.
I mean, it was just, I couldn't imagine what it was like to see a pop group in a stadium setting. I actually don't think I've ever seen a pop concert in a stadium before. And it just kind of goes to show the kind of thinking that goes into designing a show like that. Like, you really have to dress it up for the back row. Like, everything is big.
So I think how you're saying it's better than the last tour, I think the Return of the Spice Girls tour from 10 years ago was the perfect arena show.
Mm.
And the Spice World Tour 2019 was the perfect stadium tour. they're such different entities. It's very hard to compare.
And also, you know, looking back with hindsight, you know, sometimes we tend to romanticize things. Gosh, don't we do that on this podcast? But also sometimes we forget that at the time, in the context of things, it was right. It was perfect. I remember getting very excited about the return of the Spice Girls show. I remember thinking, gosh, they've got the same tour director or something that's behind Madonna and Britney. And, you know, that was the kind of caliber that I wanted to see the Spice Girls at the time. Mm. I wanted to see them come back big, slightly modernized, but able to keep up with all the big pop acts at the time. And that's that show. And they did that very well. But this time around, you know, the world has changed. Nostalgia for the 90s and noughties is stronger than ever.
That's what we're hoping anyway with our podcast.
It's not just the two of us talking about it, yeah. But I just feel that the time is right for a show like this that's very nostalgia heavy, and everyone was just having the time of their lives, weren't they? It was just the perfect throwback to just much simpler times. Everything down to like the font, the costumes. You know, I went back and watched the Spice World tour from back in the day.
Yes.
And I noticed that Melanie C had the blue streak in her ponytail.
Yes, I noticed that as well.
And
I
she went brought back it back for creeps. This.
Yes.
So, you know, there's so many like little subtle details moments that they've kept and they've sort of revamped for this show, which I really appreciate. Yeah.
I would have loved a moment, a nod to Victoria.
There was a little bit of a nod.
They mentioned her now and then, but just like, as it's such a celebration of the Spice Girls phenomenon, and I'm not saying, look, Victoria, I adore her. I wholeheartedly respect why she didn't do it. I'm not one of these people that's saying, why isn't she there, blah, blah, blah. But as the visuals were so amazing and there were so many moments where it kept single out each girl, it just would have been really nice moment for one or two of them to have included Victoria. You know, she's in all the group shots on the screen, but none of the solo, you know, when it says scary baby Ginger. If it had come up with Posh, it would have been amazing. Or in Mama when it shows their childhood pictures.
But even though she wasn't there, we made sure that we were representing for old Posh, weren't we? I mean, and Holla.
We did the ad-libs. Oh. We did her ad-libs.
If you're there and you're listening to that chorus and instinctively nothing, not a single cell in your body is calling out for you to sing Victoria's ad-libs, you need to think about your life.
You need to think. You need to spice up your fucking
life.
You need to spice
up your fucking life.
Now, David, I don't know if you heard, but when we were queuing to pick up the tickets, someone looked down at our shoes. We were both wearing our platform shoes and then went to their friend quietly, oh, they must be fakes. I was like,
honey, I earn too much to be having fake buffaloes.
I don't know where you can get fake buffaloes. I spent too much for these to be fake buffaloes. If I'd known that was an option, I would have bought them.
What a catty thing to say.
I know, fucking cheap.
Yeah. Speaking of when we were collecting our tickets, we saw Victoria's mum and dad, didn't we?
Victoria's mum and dad.
Actual
Victoria's mum and dad. And that was incredible.
Mama and Papa Adams.
And so nice that they went and went to see the show, support the girls. How lovely is that?
I know.
Now, when I went on my second night, you pointed this out, so I'm not taking credit, how you said, Let Love Lead the Way was a real highlight of the show. And it was. I was singing my heart out on the second night, or the third night, but the second night for me. No one was singing along. And I'm like, you idiots. Like, this was a UK number one single.
You need to know Let Love Lead the Way. Also, that night we both went. Someone said to us at the end of the night, you knew every word to every song, even the non-hits. I was like, yes, honey. That's why we're here. We didn't come to play. This is not playtime.
No. This is serious.
This is very fucking serious. You need to come prepared to the Spice Girls concert. What you doing standing there not knowing the words to Do It or Vicky's ad-libs at Holla?
I've been preparing my whole life for this.
Exactly. You know, this is not casual, oh, just popping down to stadium to see a regular pop group. No, we may never get this again. You don't know, so.
And that's what David said in reply to the person when they very politely said, you two knew all the words. Enjoy the rest of your night.
So, yes, like you said, for me, the highlight was Let Love Lead the Way. Personally, I don't spend a lot of time listening to that song. So for me to hear it in this live setting, especially, you know, seeing the girls together, just embracing each other, I was like, wow, there's a whole new kind of meaning to this. There's a real kind of sisterhood vibe going on, which I didn't feel when the single came out.
But the whole show, it was wonderful how they just felt like a whole unit for the entire show.
Mm.
2 hours of these four girls together, no one singling anyone out. It was a unit in such a wonderfully positive way. Mm. And I feel like it had to be for a stadium tour. I think they could have tried to come the other way and moments would have been lost, but it was just absolute perfection.
You mean like if they had tried to do like solo bits or try to split up the show in different ways?
Yeah,
you mean,
like, or for instance, how, like, you know, in Return to the Spice Girls, Jerry, like, left and they did a few songs without her. She comes back and things like that. It's like, I'm glad that they didn't try any of that. It was just, we're here, all the songs together.
Yeah.
That's the way it's going to be.
Yeah.
And it worked so well.
I know this is very difficult to single out, but in terms of costumes, were there particular favourites of yours?
I just thought the costumes kept getting better and better as the night went on.
Mm.
And there was like a particular one where Jerry was wearing like this gold dress with like a shoulder.
Like an off the shoulder. On one side, yes.
And her hair to the side. Mm. Very gorgeous, very glamorous.
Very glam, yes.
That was one of my favourite looks. And yeah, I just felt that as the show went on, every costume change was better and better and better.
Now, because I love Holler as it is, as a song, I quite enjoy the new remix as well that they did on tour. I thought it works very well with the mashup and, you know, the kind of army chant that they were doing. I love the costume for Holler. I love seeing the girls in all black. Melanie C looked incredible. That high ponytail, that black tank top, you know, it's just love it, love it, love it. Jerry's kind of long sleeve black top, like Emma's, Mel B's black outfit with a tinge of green. Like, I just, that was a real highlight for me. And also, we can't forget the recreation of the wannabe outfits.
No, that was fucking iconic.
That was very clever, very well done.
Do you think, and it is not about how anyone looks, but I think they look better now than they did during the Return to the Spice Girls tour.
Everyone's looking incredible. Everyone's in great shape. And the energy was there. You know, like, these are not girls that were in their prime, those types of performers where it was all choreographed dance routines, boom, 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 except for the Holler performances. They really served it as a unit then. But that was a rare moment. You know, the Spice Girls is about a bit of spontaneity, a little bit of grit, sort of like Bananarama, if you think about it.
Yeah.
Because Bananarama is all about the banter on stage and the camaraderie, you know, and they're sort of like, you know, we don't give a shit, but we're here to have fun and you're welcome to join us. That's the kind of vibe. So to see these four girls, and I can't tell you off the top of my head what the age range are for them now, but they're all mothers. They're all, you know, they're not necessarily full-time pop performers all the time, except for Mel C.
Mm.
For them to be up there night after night, serving it on that level, loved it.
I'm sorry, I just got really distracted because your hair just is very of like Victoria Beckham via Stop era today, and it's absolutely fabulous.
All my life, I've just tried to recreate different VB hair moments. I've even had the posh bob at one stage.
Oh, wow, the pob.
I've done the pob. So.
But... It really was, and I said it to you, but it really was one of the best nights of my life, and I'm not exaggerating. It was absolutely incredible. I was so thankful to experience it. I just kept thinking of that 7-8-year-old boy listening to that second album on repeat, and it was so special. So it was so personal to everyone in that stadium, it felt like.
Mm.
That moment in time.
Mm.
And if you've become a fan along the way, those songs are just part of the history.
Mm-hmm. And also the journey back at the train station, on the way to the train station, everyone was singing along.
Well, we got a taxi home because we missed it.
Yeah, but you know, I'm saying from like the other night I went, yeah, and just from what people are telling me. So it was a real good energy, real good spirits.
And then David, on the last night, they all sang a little bit of their solo songs.
Oh, I love that.
I was losing my shit. It was really good.
Yeah, I mean, I was watching on Insta stories. You were there in person. So the band, you know, when they were thanking each band member, each individual band musician did a little riff or something of... So Mel C had...
When You're Gone.
And then they went to Jerry, right? It's Raining Men.
Yeah.
And then Emma, Maybe.
Then they went, then they started playing Adele because Adele was in the audience and Joe just goes, it's Adele. When it's like, we everyone in the audience already knew, but like a beat like, Adele. and then they nearly forgot Mel B and they were like, and then they played a bit of Word Up, but Mel B couldn't remember the words to Word Up. I wish they had done a little Vicky song. Obviously they weren't going to.
I mean, which one would he have been?
Not Such an Innocent Girl.
That would have been my preferred choice, but maybe they would have gone with...
Out of Your Mind.
Out of Your Mind.
Or Mind of Its Own. Let Your Head Go.
Let Your Head Go. This Groove.
This Groove.
Mm.
Freedom. Lives in You. Yeah, yeah. Now, before we leave it completely, am I right in saying when Jerry left the Spice Girls, it was like a marriage?
You're going to do it, aren't you? You might as well do it.
Oh, look, Jerry's just walked in the room. Look, I need to put the record straight about this, right? You know, when I left the Spice Girls, the girls, you know, I love those girls. I love them dearly, but it was like a marriage. And, you know, when I left them, it was like a divorce. And, like, I just had to go through that. Like, do you know what I mean? Stop. Bye, Jerry. Thanks for popping in. Really lovely to see you.
Stop it. Right, we need to wrap up our S-Club 7 episode that we've hijacked with the
Sorry, but, you know, it's all part of the 19 family.
Yes, and we couldn't leave you guys without sharing a bit of that, given that, like, two of you asked for it, so yes.
Our whole listenership. So, seriously, guys, thank you so much. Thank you for listening to this episode.
Thank
you for listening to Series 2. And I'm at Dr_Joel B on all socials, and this guy is...
I'm at LoveLimmy on Instagram and at FeedLimmy on Twitter. I really need to get to unifying these handles. It's driving me insane. Not that anyone cares. But guys, this is also our last episode for this season. So we're taking a little bit of a break. I know you're like rolling your eyes going, oh, they take long enough as it is. No one would notice. They will literally come back with the next episode whenever.
Seriously, guys, thank you so much for listening. Series 2 has been such a joy to do.
And it's, I mean, it's been bigger than Series 1. I think we've had two series in this one series.
Oh, definitely. So look, I can't wait for us to come back with Series 3, where we are doing a deep dive into Jessica and Simpson. Series 3, 25 episodes, all Jessica. But no, we're going to be taking a little break for summer, both very busy with work, and then I can't wait for us to get back and do Series 3.
Mm.
Do let us know who's been your favourites in Series 1 and 2. Who do you want us to cover in Series 3? We've got a long list of suggestions from people.
We've been writing down people's suggestions, and, you know, we keep chopping and changing the order because we want to make sure that... you know, there's a nice flow to it and we're not doing too many things that were too similar. But at the same time, we really feel like some of these names have been on the list you guys have been suggesting for such a long time. So we're really going to give it to you in Season 3.
We do get a lot of 90s requests. I don't know if you find that, David, for like Eternal.
Yeah, but also
acts like that.
Yeah, so... but also like the pop star acts international.
Oh, yes.
You know, your Eden's crush and all. Like, you know, we had such a good time doing the Pop Stars episode that we did with Hearsay and Liberty X.
Mm.
So I think it's time that maybe for Season 3.
There might be more than one Pop Stars episode in Series 3, but I can't say any more. But let's just say the people's winners. And I can't wait for us to do that episode. I think that might need to be a 4-hour special.
The people's winners. Did you just coin that term?
I've mentioned it to you before because it was an episode we were going to maybe do for this
series. Yeah, but I didn't hear you call it that. That is genius.
I called it many times that. No, maybe you just think I can't.
The People's Winners. That is very clever. That's really nicely marketed.
Well, David, I want to thank you for doing this podcast with me and for sharing this series with me. And have you had any favourite moments or anyone you've particularly loved covering this series?
I really enjoyed, for my own selfish purpose, doing the Holly Valance episode with all the, you know, Aussie soap stars to pop stars episode.
That feels like so long ago.
Yeah, I mean, it was probably like second episode of this season.
It was, yeah.
But for you to walk away and then maybe like 2 or 3 months later come back and go, I really stan this Beck Cartwright song.
Whoa. It's my debut single in an alternate universe, yes. No, I have had 2 bops nonstop in my... There was a moment in time where I just had them on repeat.
Mm.
All seats taken, or as my version would be...
All booked up.
For you. So, I have it written down here. VC.
The VC.
That, out of everyone we've covered, has stuck with me the most.
Oh my God, this is crazy, because at the time, if anyone listens to that episode, you know, like, Joel was dragging his feet. He was like, I don't know about this.
I would say I think about her maybe once a day, at least, since doing it. And I'm not saying my opinions have changed, but it's been the most memorable for me, and it's been really fun to sort of look into her and to think about her sometimes. And yeah, VC mainly, but a smidge of Becky as well.
Mm.
Becky C are what stuck with me the most this season. Isn't that crazy?
It's amazing. It makes me very happy to hear that. But also, Samantha Mumba episode was lots
of fun. Oh, incredible. Oh, they were all lots of fun.
Yeah.
Obviously, I think the moments that my life have been leading up to this season was Ashley and Rachel, probably, for me.
Cheetah Girls as well,
and
yes.
And S Club 7.
And Rachel Stevens.
Yes.
Yes.
You've got to get a few requests in for Series 3, David.
Listen, guys, if you want to keep in touch with us, we love hearing from you. So follow us on socials.
Yes, at Right Back Pod on all socials. I'm at Dr_Joel B.
And I'm at FeedLimmy on Twitter and at LoveLimmy on Instagram.
And we will be back with Series 3 before you know it, kids. So stick around. Go back and listen to previous episodes if you've just come to us or if you want to listen to them again. And as David said, do interact with us on social media. While we're away, we still want to hear from you. And of course, if you want to email our hearts, email us at writebackpod@gmail.com.
Lovely. Thanks, guys.
Thank you so much, and we'll see you soon.
Bye.
Bye.